Unity.com.
It's a cool intro. So I was like, and so we put that together, unbeknownst to me. So, anyway, that's a lot of famous Robs that are out there, and I got to live up to that, I guess. The other night I was, you know, sitting around, and I'm thinking, you know, what am I worth? You know, you look at all those guys, and you're like, man, they're worth a lot of money, I'm sure. They have a lot of famous people up there. And so the other day I decided, you know, I think I'm going to find out. So I decided I'm going to ask the ultimate authority. And so that authority was G-O-O-G-L-E. I bet you're thinking G-O-D, but Google, right? He's that's the ultimate authority today. If you want to find out information, Google it, right? So I went on Google and decided to see how much am I really worth. And according to Google, theoretically, the human body is worth $46 million. Can you believe that? $46 million. I'm like, okay, I'm having a hard time believing that. So apparently, if you're able to parse out all the pieces, you know, of your body and sell them, theoretically, it'd be worth $46 million. There's only one catch. You wouldn't be alive. Okay? So you could parse out your heart, your liver, your lungs, your, you know, kidney, all that stuff, even your DNA. They're even, you know, can sell your DNA. So, but unfortunately, you wouldn't be alive. You know, theoretically, almost anything is possible, right? Theoretically. But realistically, you're probably not worth squat. You know, scientifically, they say you're worth about $4 something. So, yeah, $46 million, good luck. So after finding that out, you know, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm really not worth squat. So, you know, I decided, let's see what other people are worth. Maybe I could get a judge and a feel of how much I'm worth by looking at some other people. So first person I decided was a politician. And no, it wasn't Michael, our resident politician here. I'm sure he's worth way more than this guy. This is our lovely president, Barack Obama, who you may or may not agree with. But interestingly, Barack Obama started out, he had a career as a community organizer, then became a senator, and now is president. And, you know, of course, I'm sure he doesn't make that much money, you know, being a president. You know, they make some, but he's actually worth this amount. He's worth, whoa, her? Maybe, I don't know, let's try this again. He is worth, there we go, $12.2 million. $12.2 million, you know, he's just like one of us, right? He understands our pain, you know. So the next thing I thought was, you know, maybe let's look at an actor, actress. You know, we have someone who's in our community here who's kind of an actor, performer-ish kind of person, right? 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 We have our own here. You know, he may not be quite as cute as maybe this one. But so Angelina Jolie, how much do you think she's worth? Let's take a look. She is worth $200 million. Dollars. Not bad for a little acting, huh? Huh? Yeah. Otis is going, yeah, right. if I had a fraction of that, I'd be happy, right? So anyway, she's worth about 200. What about musicians? We got Bob, you know, and the whole group up here. I mean, they must make a lot. So I thought, well, let's look at a musician. How about Madonna, you know, she's pretty popular. So what do you think she's worth? Madonna actually is worth about $800 million. $800 million. Not bad, huh, Bob? I mean, Bob doesn't quite make $800 million, but, you know, he's pretty good. And I thought, you know, what about an athlete? We got a bunch of them running around town right now. The Leverances, you know, most of their kids are all in sports. So what about a sports figure, you know? And so what about this guy? What about Michael Jordan? You know, he's pretty famous. What do you think he's worth? Let's take a look. Michael Jordan, $1.4 billion. $1.4 billion. Wow. Boy, I'm in the wrong business. But this last person trumps all of them. And this person is, ha, fooled you. I bet you were thinking Trump, weren't you? No, Bill Gates. He, along with one other guy, is the richest person in the world. Okay? His Microsoft Corporation has allowed him to net a worth of $53 billion. $53 billion. It's pretty much unfathomable, that amount of money. And it became quite obvious to me that I'm not in the league of any of these people, you know. So I was like, well, maybe, you know, how much am I worth? You know, and I was just dying to find out, what am I worth? So I decided the answer has to be out there. So I decided to dig just a little deeper. So I was Googling it, and I came across this website, you know, and pulled that up. We got a picture. It's called humanforsale.com. And you can actually go onto this website. You can enter in your information, and you can find out how much you're worth. No kidding. And, you know, apparently, I'm supposed to explain some of the answers I have had to give. Okay, so I went in there, and here's some of the questions, just a few of them. You know, they ask your age, you know, and everything, and just some of the basic questions. Then it goes in, and one of the questions was, are you going bald? And I was like, well, how do I answer that one? I am bald. Going bald? I am bald. I'm like, okay. Another one of the questions was, rate your attractiveness. I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, how do you do that? You know, that's kind of a subjective thing, isn't it? Then it wanted your IQ. One of the questions was, put in your IQ. I'm like, I don't know. How many of you know what your IQ is? Come on, really? Well, maybe Bob, you know? I'm sure he's up like 200, yeah, right? So anyway, there's a little link in there, and you can click on it, and you can take a little test to find out what your IQ is. So I'm like, okay, well, let's go through with this, you know? And so I went through all the answers, and then, you know, about a half hour later, my head was hurting trying to answer all these questions, and I came up with an IQ of like 132. I'm like, hey, not bad. So I entered that in, and I go down a couple more questions, and then its next question was, how dumb are you? I'm like, it just asked me my IQ. Now it's asking me, how dumb am I? You know, I'm like, well, I don't know, and lo and behold, another link. So there's a website out there called amidumb.com. Of course, right? So you can take another test to find out how dumb you are. And after you get done, you realize, man, I'm pretty dumb because I thought I got a really good score on this one. You know, I went through all these little tests, you know, like, okay, we had all these animals. Well, which one does not belong with the others? Ooh, the giraffe, you know? I don't know, you know? And, you know, just dealt with all these scenarios and stuff. And I found out I'm not that smart, apparently, even though I got an IQ of 132. So anyway, I went through that whole thing, and lo and behold, I found out I'm worth $2.58 million.
Really?
Yeah, not bad, huh? So, I mean, you may find that hard to believe, but that's what it said, right? So it can't be wrong, right? Of course. So, you know, I thought, maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. You know, maybe this really isn't the ultimate authority, right? Because apparently what it's telling me is not adding up to what reality is. So the question is, in a world of constant change and shifting opinions, true value and worth seems like a distant illusion that we can never reach. The memories of our past infiltrate our thoughts and render us ineffective and unworthy. But the good news is, none of that's true. None of that that we've conjured up in our mind is actually true. So how do I know that I am valuable? That's the question. How do I know that I am valuable? Well, there's five things I want to point out here today. The first is that you were created. You see, value is oftentimes determined by who it was created by. You know, you can have any, you can go out there and buy any painting, you know, or a piece of artwork or a piece of furniture, but if it was created by someone very famous and someone very important, that's going to have a lot more value than something that wasn't. If we look at Psalm 139, verse 13 through 18, we're going to read a few of these verses together. It says, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when it was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you." I mean, that's just so beautiful. I mean, I'll take that any day over the fact that somehow I came from primordial ooze, you know, and just somehow happened. I mean, the beauty of that and how we are created by God and how he knit us together. I mean, just awesome. So am I valid? Yes, I was created. Number two, you were chosen. You may not know this, but I remember standing in gym class, and I don't know if they do this nowadays, but you know when they divide you up and they have one captain here and one captain there, and they got to pick their team. So, you know, they're like, "Oh, I'll pick you, and the next person goes, "I'll pick you," and, you know, and I was never the first one picked, you know. Sports, I was like way at the bottom as far as sports. But having that feeling, you know, of being chosen, if you were that first one chosen, it's like, yes, yeah, wow, cool, you know. And that's the way it is with God, you know, and us. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, we looked at that. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What an incredible picture. You know, just that he chose us to be his people, a chosen people. If we look at Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, the next verse says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will. And this is the next verse, but if we look at that last verse, he had adopted us. He adopted us as his sons. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 30 says, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He chose the lowly things, the things that most people look at and say, you're really not worth much, you know? And it's interesting. Bring up that next picture. How many people know what this is? One. This is what's called a tree burl. Now, a tree burl is a part of a tree that gets injured by some means, whether it be insects, whether it be damage to the outer layer. But what happens is the tree will grow around that wound, and it will form what is called a burl. Now, a couple of years ago, I got involved with wood turning. I got involved with working with wood, and I was like people that made these wood bowls. So I decided to buy a lathe and try my hand at making wood bowls. And the interesting thing that I found out is woodworkers that turn wood bowls, they don't go for the perfect wood. They're not looking for a piece of wood that's perfect, you know. They want something like this. And so what I found out is that a burl has interesting character. The burl and the way it forms creates a really unique pattern to the wood, and something that's not achieved by regular means. It takes an injury, a scar, something in the tree that caused that to happen. And so I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I got around to thinking, you know, that's kind of like us, isn't it? You know, God, he chooses people that aren't perfect. He chooses people that have imperfections because those people have the most character. They've got the qualities that God is looking for. And there's other things. I mean, I found out that this here is a maple bowl. You know, you think of maple, it's usually just plain, you know, this nice cream color. But what happens with some maple trees when they start to die, there's a fungus And that fungus works its way into the wood and creates this intricate pattern. And it's called spalting. And if it wasn't for that spalting and that fungus that works its way in, you would never get such interesting character in your piece of wood. This bowl, this is a black walnut. And this section of the tree actually is where two limbs come together. And what happens is there's a lot of stress that's created. So you get this really interesting figuring in the wood as a result of all that stress. You know, in our lives, we often encounter a lot of things in our lives that create a lot of interesting character, don't we? You know, but God, He chooses that. He chooses that in our lives. Here's another bowl. This is a maple burl. Just some interesting patterns, you know. So God, in His artistic, creative way, chose each and every one of us and chose those things that most people would look at. That's just a scar. That's just ugly. But He sees the beauty in it. Number three, you were purchased. See, the value of an item is often determined by how much someone is willing to pay for it. I found this out to be true. One of the highest paid prices for a painting at auction was $300 million for a painting. It was by a guy named William D. Kooning. Who? You know, it's not Rembrandt, it's not Picasso, it's not Da Vinci. It was by William D. Kooning. And here it is, here's the painting. $300 million for that. Most of you look at that and go, you're crazy. There's no way I wouldn't even pay 10 bucks for that thing, right? But see, its value is determined by how much someone was willing to pay for it. And that's often the case with us, isn't it? And in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says this. It says, "So you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." In 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6, it says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is a testimony given at the proper time." See, God, we are in captive. You know, we are captured by sin, by the struggles. He paid our ransom. He paid the price for our sin. He paid the ultimate price. And that price was the death of His Son on the cross. I mean, that's the ultimate price. The ultimate is to give your life for somebody else. So God, in His great mercy, paid the ultimate price. Number four, you have an inheritance. Many of you are like, yeah, right. My folks aren't going to leave me anything, right? No, God, He is going to leave you an incredible inheritance. I was just on the news yesterday. I heard them discussing what's going to happen with Prince's estate, you know? What's going to happen with his fortune? Who's going to inherit it, right? Well, let's look at a couple verses here. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." See, we have an incredible inheritance. We are heirs in the kingdom of God. What can compare to that? You know? It's just incredible. The fifth point, and the last point, is that you are loved. You are loved. I mean, am I worth anything? Yes, you are loved by the God of the universe. John 3:16, everyone knows this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That is love. The love that God has. And there's two factors to God's love. First factor, it's unconditional. There is nothing that we can do to earn God's love. God's love is given to us freely. All we have to do is accept it. Second point, God's love is unending. His love will never end. You know, in today's society, love is fleeting. People are ending relationships, getting divorced. I love you one day, and the next day they're gone. God's love is unending. It'll be there today, tomorrow, and forever. And in closing, I want to wrap it up with this verse. Ephesians 1:17-19 says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might." I mean, it's just so beautiful. I mean, the amazing blessing that we have, the amazing worth that is found in God and our relationship through him compares to nothing. There's nothing that compares to that. So in closing, I just want to pray. Father, we thank you so much that our worth is not dependent upon the world. Thank you that you have chosen us, that you've loved us, Father, that we are so valuable to you. Father, you have greatly given us all things. We're heirs to your kingdom and to eternity with you. Father, help us to just focus on that. Help us to understand the significance of that in our lives, Father. Help us to apply that to our lives, to go out of here just rejoicing at how great and wonderful you are and how special and how worthy we are in your sight, Father. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us and for the sacrifice that you've made for us. Father, we just can never repay you enough for what you've given to us. And Father, if there's someone here that hasn't made that commitment to you, I just pray that they would see what it is that God offers to them, how important, how special, and how amazing each and every one of us are. And if we come into that relationship with you, that you'll have fulfillment, you'll have purpose, you'll have great worth. Father, we just thank you for all these things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.